Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hope you're all doing well. I think I thought I adjusted something so that you all can see your chat. I think you can, but it's just, I think I'm fucking shit up here. Let's see, chat box. Yeah, most people take care of something like this maybe when the podcast is not going on, so maybe I'll come back to that. Such an asshole. I don't know why you people put up with me. Hello. And what's interesting about this is I sat down ready to do the podcast, and I had all these stories open that I wanted to talk about. And then I hit go. It's always a different catastrophe every single fucking day. I had all these stories that I wanted to talk about. I had reviewed them. I had watched them. I had gotten a point of view about all of them. And was ready to do my thing. Just whatever, random stories. I hit go on the podcast. And then I zigged when I should have zagged. And everything that I had open and laid out in a nice, neat, orderly way in order to do the show, I closed it. So then I'm like, well, okay, that was going to get me, you know, my whole podcast. That's like the show. And so the theme's play. This is 90 seconds ago. The theme's playing. I'm like, okay, ready to start the show. First topic. And I go, wait, where's all my shit? And it's gone. So now the show is up and running. Everybody's waiting for the show to get started. And asshole Eric doesn't have anything to talk about. Can you believe that? How embarrassing. What an asshole. So now I have to rely. This is all I could remember. All I could remember is that there was a huge fight yesterday in the Rangers Devils game. Now, not everybody gives a shit about hockey. In fact, no one does. But it's a fucking fight, and it's a line brawl. But so I got that. I go, oh, I can remember that one. We can talk about that. But I was like, well, then what? You know, I mean, there's plenty more to talk about. So, oh, boy. Now, that's risky business right there. I cannot endorse that with the comment. Kenny writes, hey, mate, we can come up with stuff to talk about. Oh, no. Well, I appreciate you trying. By all means. Who am I? I mean, beggars can't be choosers, right? Kenny says, or an AMA. Well, here's the thing about an AMA. I feel like everybody knows everything about me. That there is nothing more that there's nothing you don't know. So I don't know if there's anything worth asking me. You know, I will say it's worth mentioning. Go to the subreddit and read Ryan's Big Fraud News article. All right. It is. He does an amazing job. when I read the Big Fraud News Network articles, I'm like, God, he really fucking knows how to write. The eloquence, I write like a child, and I'm like embarrassed at how when I compare it to like what Ryan writes. Chris asks AMA, American Motorcycle Association. No. That stands for Ask Me Anything. That's what an AMA is. That's a Reddit thing. Like you'll see like a famous actor, like William Shatner will say, all right, I was Captain Kirk. Ask me anything. Linda says he should be writing for a living. Yeah, maybe. I'm moving some things around on you. I think I will stick with the chat at the top. Not the chat, but the text. Still have not figured out how to speed it up. I'm not that great with this stuff. Amy says, I want to hire Ryan to do all my writing work assignments. He's amazing. All right, this is what I'm going to do because, again, I had things to talk about and now they're gone because I'm an asshole. I might as well unpack that. The fact that it starts with a screenshot in the article. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it here. No, I can't. Of course not. Everything's fucked up. God, what an asshole. I'll just read it to you. I'm not even going to be able to play the fight that I wanted to play for you, I don't think. Even that's fucked up. Of course it is. No, that's not working. Well, that, no. No, I'm screwed. No, that's okay. I'll figure it out. I'll just read it then. Radio hosts, child salami shenanigans, and studio table flap cause buzz. Atop his throne, amidst a sea of red presidential ball caps and Chicago vacation homes, radio personality Eric Zane, dubbed Big Fraud by none other than former President Trump, reigns over his domain in the MAGA-infested territory of Ottawa County. Perched in his garage studio, Zane presides over a haven teeming with chaos and controversy. Wednesday's episode of the Eric Zane Show Patreon bonus podcast, obtained through clandestine back channels and leaks to Big Fraud News Network, provided a peek into the chaotic realm of Big Fraud, where disorder, rules, and rationality fades into the background. Amidst the clutter of his recently renovated studio setup, engineered by professionals in the radio industry, featuring an uncomfortably bright white fold-out table and noticeably absent drop shadows on his floating white text. The saga of Eric Zane and his ramshackle broadcasting empire continues to unfold. Amid the chaotic juggling act of his countless side hustles, Zane finds himself ensnared in yet another controversy. This time, courtesy of his poverty setup in the Big Fraud Broadcasting Studios. As a guest host on Who Are These Podcasts, Zane was forced to confront the unflattering commentary of a listener who couldn't help but mock the sorry state of his studio, describing it as an inexpensive fold-out table with an uncomfortable crease down the center. Right here. That's so you can fold it and put it away, you know. Another listener highlighted the plight of poor Zane, whose sweaters are at constant risk of snagging on the center crease. This sorry spectacle harkens back to the fateful expose by the Big Fraud News Network, which first unveiled the transition of this poverty-stricken fold-out table during that fateful Monday last month. And yet, despite the outcry, Zane remains undeterred. boldly declaring his intention to acquire more of these pitiful tables from Costco, lamenting 6 feet just isn't enough. Truly, the trials and tribulations of Eric Zane continue to captivate and confound audiences far and wide. Audience member Chris D. dared to voice a modest opinion after this tirade. I just wish we could see more blank walls with the new camera angle. Followed by a cheeky laughing emoji. But instead of brushing it off like your typical broadcast pro, Zane zeroed in with fiery indignation, enraged at the audacity of someone not admiring his meticulously adorned walls. He lashed out, decrying the absence of TGI Friday's knickknacks and proudly displayed sponsor logos. This episode sheds light on Zane's deep attachment to his cluttered studio, which resembles more of a hoarder's paradise than a professional broadcasting space, complete with scratched record collections, layers of canine hair, and unidentified substances aplenty. Last week, eagle-eyed spectators couldn't help but notice a puzzling shift in the Eric Zane studio ambiance, a noticeable void where the once prominent WQON Q100 logo used to reside. This perplexing alteration has ignited a flurry of conjecture regarding Q100's sentiments towards Zane's kaleidoscope array of personas. Quote, listening to Zane is like running into a fellow with more personalities than a possum's got ticks, drawled one bewildered listener who preferred to keep their identity under wraps. That friendly fella on the morning drive might as well be from another country when you compare him to the firebrand ranting and raving online, fussing over enemies you can't see, and hollering at clouds like they done stole his supper, end quote. In a world where radio stations seem to be on audio pilot, the insane asylum on Q100 stands out like a diamond in the rough. Amidst the onslaught of automated playlists and pre-recorded segments, Eric Zane takes the helm, offering up not just the morning weather and song trivia, but genuine interaction with his listeners. It is a rare gem in the barren landscape of terrestrial radio where authenticity is often sacrificed for efficiency. In true fraudulent fashion, that personality is unique to Q100 listeners of his internet podcast, yet a whole different set of personalities and are treated to female breasts on occasion during his live shows in true 90s Stern era shock jock form. In the true fraudulent fashion, the personality is unique to Q100. Wait a minute. I might have already read that. I think I got lost. Every version of Zane brings its own flavor to the mix, and that's what keeps things interesting, commented a loyal fan. Personally, I have a soft spot for PA Grand Rapids Griffin's Zane. He's just so darn good with the kids. But whether it's that Zane or the one we see stirring the pot online, they all have their place in the chaotic tapestry of Big Fraud's world. Wow. This takes a long time to read, let alone write. I'm actually pausing for a break. The amount of effort that goes into this is unbelievable. All right, now he's getting into some other things that I said on the show. In another display of signature irreverence, Wednesday's episode from Behind the Paywall plunged into the depths of absurdity with discussions on the size of penises, referencing a recent news report linking big noses to larger cranks. Zane and his audience delved into the unconventional topic, proving once again that no subject is off limits in Big Fraud's domain. However, The show took a controversial turn when Zayn ventured into questionable territory regarding his wife's height. He seemed quite pleasured with the fact that she stands 4'11", with an unsettling analogy likening her stature to that of a child. Zayn quipped, "Any size," referring to penis, "would be big to her because she's so little. It's like having," quote, "salami," actual word redacted for ethical reasons, "with a child." The comment, intended as humor, sparked discomfort among listeners and raised eyebrows among Big Fraud News Network reporters who were monitoring the broadcast. Big Fraud then was quoted saying, "None of you are allowed to tell her that." Quick to backtrack, Big Fraud attempted to clarify his statements, asserting that he would never engage in such behavior. "I can only just assume I've never had, quote, salami with a child ever," Zayn quipped, his words laced with a hint of discomfort, yet a strange comedic flair. "But, I mean, if you're having salami with a person who's 4'11", most children are taller than 4'11". The virtual chuckles that followed reverberated through the digital ether, punctuated only by the awkward clacking of a keyboard in Nashville, Tennessee. I haven't gotten this far into the article. What I'm reading right now is the first time I'm actually absorbing it. Show listener Kenny chimed in, exclaiming, "Well, that was quite a revelation. Now I understand why salami with my ex made me feel icky. She was 4'11". Zayn retorted swiftly, "That's not what made you feel icky. It was the Down syndrome that made you feel icky." Oh. It sounds so much worse when you write it. This isn't the first time Big Fraud has found himself embroiled in controversy surrounding discussions of children and salami. In 2023, a MAGA devotee, in a scene straight out of a dystopian novel, coerced her innocent child to spew venom at an Ottawa County fascist meeting. The demand? Probably to incinerate the county's libraries and exclusively circulate Trump-certified Bibles, as best as we can fact check. As the child regurgitated these absurd directives, grandma and mom watched proudly from her side. Seizing the moment for revenge, Zayn fantasized on his podcast about the ultimate karmic justice. Grandma stumbling upon the child munching, quote, on assorted lunch meats. A poetic comeuppance. Alas, the tale took a darker turn as the mother, incensed by the clip's misrepresentation, sought solace in the arms of the, quote, free market solution, venting her grievances against the irreverent antics of our beloved internet pal, Big Fraud Eric Zayn and his many sponsors. And thus, the curtain falls on another absurd chapter in the annals of Big Fraud's zany adventures. Wow. That is quite an effort. I will be sharing that on social media for the masses to read later on. My God. That is a absolutely fantastic work of art. Stevie says he's not even here to get all the compliments we're throwing at him. Linda says, "God help." I don't know. Maureen's talking about something that I'm lost on. I see a lot of Maureen going on here. Mo, yes. Let's hear about when you and Linda were small children in mid-Michigan tending to your parents' garden when you had to pick pickles during your summers. I think there's a show within the show here. Kenny says, could you omit one part prior to the social media post? Absolutely not. No. No, in fact, because of that request, I'm going to make it larger font in that part and bold and link it to you. That's what'll happen. All right, fight last night, hockey game. These guys are pissed off about something. I'm not sure what's... I can't share it. I already told you that. It's because I suck. Yeah, well. I swear to God, I had the best of intentions when I started this show, that I would actually be able to do a show. I had a number of things that I was going to talk about. Kenny says, come on, man, I'm not joking. What are you talking about? Hang on. I have time because I am. Hold on here. I'll bring you in and you can tell me specifically what you're talking about, because I'm not entirely sure. Perfect opportunity. Where are you?
Hey,
what's going on now?
Well, I mean, for the podcast and Twitch is one thing, but if you're going to post those words, on social media, I don't know, man.
You're going to have to talk to Ryan about that. I mean, if you want to do a rewrite, you have to contact the network. You'd have to get like a full retraction.
Come on, man. Just that one little part.
What? What is the concern? What are you worried about?
I think she still follows you.
And do you like this person? No.
No, it's just I don't want to cause any like drama, you know.
What?
I didn't think that was too much to ask. I mean, geez, Ashley's probably asked you for way more.
What could possibly go wrong? So, you mean like she could like sue you or something?
No, just like things are like good. They were awkward between us for the longest time, but now like, you know, we communicate well in regards to my daughter. So that's all. I don't want to.
All right. If you bring the kid into it, I'll let it go.
Well, yeah, we didn't have a child together. It'd
well, I can't. That means I can't post it at all because... Like, well, all I'm going to do is put a link up there.
Oh.
I can't edit it. I'm the one. I'm just posting a link. Well, all right. Well, I guess I'll just have to encourage everybody to go to the subreddit and read it for themselves. I don't want to be that guy. Plus, if I posted it after you said that, everybody's going to want to kick my ass, and I can't have that.
Well, no, it's me. They would laugh.
No, they wouldn't. They'd kill me. Are you kidding me? Jesus
really,
Christ.
Don't you want to point more people together anyway and hope that, you know, more people use it?
If I had posted that and Megan saw it after you just said what you said, I mean, she was like, I had a drunk on the show earlier today. She's like, oh, we got to go over there and help him. He needs help right now. She would have a heart attack.
That's Megan, you know, she cares about everybody. So, yeah, she'll mom.
Can you imagine pissing Megan off? I mean, what, how terrible of a world you'd be in if you have actually upset her?
Well, what would you actually have to do to piss Megan off? I mean,
I don't know. I actually know of some things that I could do to piss Megan off. This would be one of them.
Just randomly reach back and like take the sign down during the show and wait for her to notice.
Oh, she'd be so furious. Okay, I won't post it to Facebook.
Just you know, mention it and then like direct everyone to say, look for my subreddit. You know, something like that.
All right. Okay.
Need more activity there anyway, you know?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't know. Just on that, I would appreciate it. Everything else, if it's just beating me up, yeah, post that shit.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too, man.
Yeah. We can't. Megan would just kick my ass. Big news from our pal, Lizzo, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Lizzo news. She has announced she is not quitting music. Well, thank God. A lot of people thought she was going to, like, hang herself or something. I mean, well, or whatever. Do whatever. Hurt herself in some way because she posted that she's sick and tired of people dragging her because she's so heavy. Lizzo, yeah, it's I think that's a thing where now you can only really attack someone for being huge if they do something else that's negative. Like, if there's a sweet lady in the news and she's quite fluffy, but she's like super sweet, it is not a good idea to say anything terrible about that person. However, if she does something like hurts animals, then it's okay. At least that's where I stand personally on this. Then if anybody does anything that's like, okay, the masses now hate this person. It could be anything. Hurt a child, hurt a dog, be stupid, former Zaniac, maybe like Trump, those types of people. You can... It's okay to say something terrible about them, how they look. Then it's fair game. At least that's how I believe it should be. Or if someone just says anything that's attacking to me and tries to, run me through the mud, then it's fair game. If a person picks a fight with me, then it's on. There was a really great interaction I had with someone just recently who, oh my God, this is fantastic. I had posted on, okay, it was my Who Are These Free Beers promotion on Facebook. And all it is usually, hey, here's a free clip. You can check it out. If you like it, great. And that's it. I wrote, Who Are These Free Beers, episode 16, titled Where Would You Hide a Paperclip? In this episode, Ben pulled clips from a segment where Free Beer asked each member of the show where the best place in their homes would be to hide a paperclip. Next highlight. Though Ben and EZ both like Kelly, we can't let her slide when she has unfortunate voice moments, along with new examples of crispy R's. While the gang was broadcasting live in front of an audience in Flint, Michigan, the Burn King fired off some jokes that were hilariously met with silence. Plus, many more gems. So, occasionally you get people who love the Free Beer and Hot Wings show who attack me on posts like that, which is fine. When they do that, that helps me. And truth be told, most posts like that on my Facebook, because a great deal of, yes, Chris, this is Mr. Johnson. Most of my posts on Facebook that promote something, it's white noise to most people. You know, it's just an announcement. It's not like a reason to say anything. Some people do, but I've noticed there's very little responses or even likes. You'll see something with like 3 likes or something ridiculous like that. And that was what was going on here. And then this guy, he gets in and he writes, Zane is jealous and desperate for attention, which I'm happy to give because this is his third response in a couple of days to this post. All I hear is a Hot Wings drop. Nobody cares. LOL. That drop was actually Fred Sanford. So I wrote, hey, friend, That drop was actually Fred Sanford, and he says it still works for you. This goes on for a little bit. Ira, what are you so aggressive about? You don't listen to me, so why are you here and why do you care? Do I show up at your work and tell you how to ring up customers at Speedway? I was going to write, do I tell you how to make the fries? But when I was getting ready to type that, I was actually making fries at Bosco's. All right, so then there's a little bit of dialogue, and this guy says, well, you and your disrespecting of people, why do you disrespect people so much? I wrote, I see, you're one of those white knights I hear about. Well, have fun with that. Thanks for being here then. And then a couple of people started to pick up on his grammatical and spelling errors. Like he wrote the word here, and it should have been here, like with your ear, but he wrote it out H-E-R-E. And Chris here corrected him. A little bit of a back and forth between these two. Everybody else starts correcting his grammar. At one point, the guy wrote, I love how I don't look at responses because I don't have to, comma, LOL. But when he wrote, I don't have to, he wrote T-O-O, which is like saying also. He should have wrote T-O. And this Chris corrected him and wrote asterisk T-O. Well, this Mr. Johnson, James Johnson, doubled down on Chris Allen and wrote, no, it's T-O-O, dummy. And it is not. And this guy, Chris, wrote, no, it's really not. And it's I-T apostrophe S. Here's some help for you since you're swinging and missing a lot. And puts up a link for Grammarly. And then I wrote, damn, he really thought it was T-O-O. He made it a million times worse by doubling down. Now I feel bad for engaging a moron. I wanted to write retard, but I figured I would get banned on Facebook if I wrote that. That's growth right there. Chris Allen wrote, he's certainly not doing himself any favors. Hey, I tried. He bailed. He hasn't spoken on the thing since. How embarrassing is that? Can you imagine he would have to go, oh, he's right. It is T-O-O. See, I don't think anybody can write like Ryan, but I at least know the differences between T-O, T-O-O, and T-W-O. Stevie says, shit, I miss that post. I love telling people that their grammar is wrong. Chris says, that was awesome. Your last line was the killing blow. Yeah, that guy might have killed himself. Jesus. Hopefully Megan can go rescue him. We gotta help him! I love you, Megan, but come on. Give me a break. Stevie writes, MAGA infested. I love that. I love it, too. All right, I've managed to make it through. I hope it was entertaining, even though I had nothing to share with you. I suck so bad. I still tried. I tried my hardest. Thanks for being here. I love you guys. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. I'm going to do that all again. This is the Eric Zane Show podcast on Patreon. Thank you so much for being here. I am so blessed. For now, 5 years, and one day shy of 3 months. Tomorrow will be 5 years, 3 months of podcasting glory. Today, a little bit of a hiccup with the horrible behavior of Kenny in Nashville, aggressively attacking me right after he basically walked up to a woman grieving after the passing of her beloved husband and making fun of her. What an insensitive fuck. And all I did was bust his balls when he repeated Angus Young. And then that's what we get. You know, that's the level of abuse that I have to put up with. And he's so dumb that here we are. I don't speak to him. I'm looking at him as a cast of as an audience member. And from his point of view, he's like, well, yeah, but I'm having a bad day. How the fuck would I know that? How the fuck would anybody know that? There is no way I would have been able to know that, quote, you're having a bad day. Everybody's having a bad day. God damn it. So dumb. How the fuck is anybody going to know that? Sorry, I just had to check on my mic. It was a little too hot there. So if it was too hot for the start of the show, my apologies. I do that from time to time. Bob says he wasn't wrong about the lady, though. All right. Yeah, that's that fine line I was talking about. You, if someone doesn't deserve it, you can't attack them over appearance. That is a new rule of engagement. If someone has something like that happen, it's off limits to attack someone on their appearance. Even I know this, and I'm the world's biggest asshole. All I think about is the ladies. I think about the sensibilities of the Megans and the Stevies and the Maureens and the Lindas and the Rebeccas and the Nickies. I know I'm forgetting someone. And the Mollies, who would just be looking at me tap. See, women are smarter than dudes, and they're more complete in terms of mental stability. And they'll let you get away with just about anything. They give you a wide berth, you know, to do your thing. They'll put up with a lot. But in that case, that is not going to fly. And I know enough not to rock that boat. You got a poor lady who just killed her husband. Her life is over. It was over to begin with. I mean, Jesus. And you guys are attacking her. Kenny, the leader of the gang, by announcing she is Pizza the Hut. My God. Yesterday, I attempted to show you the video of this fight sequence. New Jersey and the Rangers. Now, I think, I don't think this was that big of a deal because as Red Wings fans, you know, the ultimate was the line brawl between the Red Wings and the Avalanche way back when. But this one's, I guess, had been brewing for quite some time between these two teams. Now, the guy that you want to pay attention to is number 73. He's, I think, a rookie. His name is Matt Rempe is his name. And he's been beating the hell out of people all year. And I guess, well, this is what happens when you're ready to fight. Audio check, video check.
Madison Square Garden has seen its fair share of bouts on the canvas, on the ice.
So everybody, he just said, we've seen it. Everybody knows this is coming, and this is the start of the game here. They've pretty much announced that we're going to fight.
No undercard tonight. Rempe and McDermott, the main event to open the hockey game.
Both sides. Lazar went the other side as well.
Jimmy Vesey and Lazar. Gaudreau has dropped them with Kevin Ball as well. Now it's 5-on-5.
Now we've got all 10 guys, all skaters, no goalies at this point. They're all fighting, but they only have the camera on Rempe and McDermott. We'll be able to see how it unfolds from a wide angle in a bit, but this is the fight between these two.
McDermott and Rempe exchanging blows, but everybody has gloves off at the Garden. DeAndre Miller and John Marino, there's only four officials, there's five fights. They're trying to break up what they can. Meanwhile, Rempe and McDermott still throwing them. DeAndre Miller got the better of John Marino down on the other end as McDermott still feeding rights to Rempe. The other four are all done. The main event's still going.
This is unbelievable. Holy jumping. What a-
I like how they got the camera on the goalie just in case.
This is unbelievable. Holy jumping. What a start to this one right here. But McDermott's got it.
That's Darren Pang. Anybody who says holy jumping, that's totally a Canadian thing. Holy jumping!
He had a couple of uppercuts.
This is a marathon between Rempe and McDermott.
Rempe's visor down. Oh, they got to be out of gas. Completely.
Yeah, they're exhausted.
Out of gas. Completely out of gas. Holy jumping! What a start to this one.
Rempe coming over towards the Devil's bench as he fires up his own before he'll head to the penalty box where he'll have plenty of company.
Did not say anything to their bench, though. He's out of gas. I mean, totally out. Just took a swing by, looked at his bench, and now Laviolette right here with Travis Green right behind me.
The coaches are dogging each other. If you're listening to the audio podcast, my apologies. You'll have to click on the link.
So five fights, the coach is getting into it, and we've had 2 seconds run off the clock. Peter Laviolette's coming back.
All right, this is fantastic.
Tension was brewing heading into this hockey.
Watch this. He's going to say, the coach of the Devils is going to say, go fuck yourself.
Everybody knew there was one fight about to happen.
Go fuck yourself.
And a little bit extra for the coach.
And he got all these guys in the box. They're having so much fun. No one's hurt. No big deal. All these guys get in there.
Well, it took him 2 seconds to blow the whistle, so not the fastest fight at Madison Square Garden, and everybody's headed off. Here's the interesting thing, Panger.
Now, yeah, in the NHL, there's a rule that if you drop the gloves or something like that after the first fight started, there was 10 guys fighting, 8 of them got ejected.
I think they're saying that
there they go. They're all thrown out of the game.
Maybe throwing 8 players out of the game.
3.
Then another fight. They say that from the hockey game.
Okay, this is how it went from a wide angle.
Two coaches, too. There it is, right there. They went first, but we're all
yard sale
on my near side, which was Rempe, the main bout, and then McDermott, and then Marino goes Miller, and Miller, boy, he's a strong one, boy. He got the best of Marino on the right side, but everybody's looking at this one right here.
Hand fighting. Oh!
And obviously my conversation today with great fighters like Kelly Chase and Joey Koser that played for the New York Rangers won a cup here. Just talking about, not sleeping all day.
Oh, God damn. That is vicious. I remember when Brett Gallant, he is the tough man, one of the tough men of the AHL. I've told this story before. He sits down.
We the people of the...
And I've seen him, I've talked to him for many, many years. And him and his brother are, they fight. That's all they do is fight. And he sits down. I go, Brett, how are you? He goes, not bad. I go, have you beat the hell out of anybody lately? He goes, no, I'm kind of giving that up. I'm getting too old for that. He finishes up his 2-minute minor for whatever, high sticking. And he comes out of the box right at the bottom of your screen here and skates over and gets into the play. And immediately this happens with a guy for the Griffins by the name of Dennis Jahn. Again, he just finished up saying, yeah, I don't do that. I'm not doing that anymore.
Monsters surge down into the Griffin's end of things as we've got a fight in front of the net. Brett Gallant drops the gloves and he's hammering away with hard right hands on Jahn. Dennis Jahn hanging on for dear life, and down goes Jahn as Brett Gallant takes care of business at the top of the goal crease there. And that's a brave Griffin's forward to go toe-to-toe with Galli as Dennis Jahn learned a hard lesson about who's the king of the AHL fight game.
He skates over, he sits down, he's like, oh, well. Well, there goes that.
Oh, and the booze rained down, you know.
Yeah.
We're back.
He's a badass.
The neutral zone faceoff. Monsters surge down into the Griffins end of things.
Just,
as we
he wasn't even
in front of the net.
He wasn't even provoked. It was like he was doing it just to show that he can. Because that guy was minding his own business. He just skated over and grabbed him.
The neutral zone faceoff. Monsters surge down into the Griffins end of things. As we've got a fight in front of the net, Brett Gallant drops the gloves and he's hammering away with hard right hands on Jahn. Dennis Jahn hanging on for dear life.
Ah, fuck.
Pulling me over?
I like watching these videos where people get pulled over and they have dash cams. And they somehow don't get in trouble because the cop is such an asshole. Well, anyway. There was one time, I have a picture somewhere, I've showed it before on here, where I was, there was a big ass brawl at Van Andel and the team, it was the San Antonio Rampage. I don't even know if they're a team anymore, but they had 5 guys in the fucking penalty box sitting right next to me. And the camera on the scoreboard, underneath the scoreboard, it panned and I go, aim it down at me. I want to get a screenshot. And it was me looking up at the camera, holding up the number 5 with 5 guys in the goddamn box. Hockey game tonight too. The Griffs have had a good season now that they took out the Ben Simon trash. God, that guy sucked and everybody hated him. Oh, hang on here. Another stink bug. I got to get it out of here. I don't know where they come from. Give me here, big fella. See? Hold on. If I squish them, it's going to stink, and I don't want to do that. I got to put them out the window. This is going to be on the Big Fraud News Network. Fuck, I dropped it. Yeah. That's going to be on the BFNN. So can you imagine the news story about on the BFNN about how I had to stop the broadcast and go put that little insect in my hand and then put him out the window so he can fly away? That will be covered on BFNN. I can promise you that. But doggone it, I don't want that little bugger to die. I mean, I love everything. Come on now. I don't even squish spiders. You know? No way. So there had been rumors that Prince Harry, in his book, well, this isn't a rumor. He actually wrote in his book that there was an older woman who took his virginity when he was a teenager. In his book, which is called Spare. That came out in 2023. Talk about a butthurt pussy. If you name your book Spare. I didn't read the book. I don't want to read the book. Okay. But
from automated assembly lines to smart factories, manufacturing is going digital and fast. If you want to stay relevant, you need the right tech skills. CBT Nuggets helps you get there with practical, easy to follow IT training. Build in-demand skills in networking, cybersecurity, and system automation without investing in costly hardware or struggling with complicated setups. Our short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs make learning simple and effective. Whether you're a technician on the floor, a manager leading teams, or an engineer optimizing systems, CBT Nuggets fits your schedule and meets you where you are. Train at your own pace, from any device, wherever it works for you. And with new content added regularly, there's always something relevant to learn. Join thousands of professionals who are leveling up their careers with CBT Nuggets. Right now, you can start a 7-day free trial and explore everything we offer, no commitment required. Go to cbtnuggets.com today, because in modern manufacturing, better tech skills mean better opportunities.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So what? You're the spare. You are not the heir to the throne. You know? Big fucking deal. If you wanted to do it right, do it Game of Thrones style if you wanted to be the king. You know? I mean, we had all of that sibling rivalry that went on with the Baratheons. Don't write a fucking book, you pain in the ass. About the only thing that I agree that Prince Harry should be pissed off about is the racist shit. Because his wife, I guess, is biracial. Is that what you say? Or mixed? I don't even know what the terminology is. I know it's not mulatto. I think if you say mulatto, you're canceled. But anyway, the wife, one of the parents is African-American. So the child, I guess, I guess somebody was complaining about the color of the kid's skin or wondered something like that or said, I don't know, maybe somebody said the N-word. I don't know. But that has a lot to do with him leaving the family. So I guess it would depend on what exactly was said. But anyway, in the book Spare, he wrote about how someone took his virginity, an older woman. In the book, he described losing his virginity as an inglorious episode with an older woman. He recounted in the book, she liked horses quite a lot and treated me not unlike a young stallion. Quick ride, after which she smacked my rump and sent me off to graze. That sounds gross. Among the many things about it that were wrong, it happened in a grassy field behind a busy pub. Obviously, someone had seen us. So Prince Harry had sex with a woman who got on top of him in a field behind a bar? So there had long been discussions about who that was. A lot of people thought it was Elizabeth Hurley, who, seriously, may have been one of the prettiest women on the planet. She still looks great. I think she's like my age. A lot of people said it definitely was Elizabeth Hurley who rode him like a stallion in the grass behind the bar. And then people were like, well, what are you basing that on? But the rumor was pervasive. It was her. Well, she finally addressed the rumors that she, in fact, rode Prince Harry like a stallion. By the way, if I'm him and I write that book, he's been married to Meghan Markle for quite some time, and I write about having sex with another woman, my wife's going to beat my ass. I have never told my wife any of the stories about the times that I've been on the business end of a vagina. And she would not want to hear that. Like, she doesn't know about the time when I touched Martha's vagina in college. And I'm not kidding you. My hand stunk for like 4 days. That was the story where Skipper yelled, "It's in your paws, E! It's in your paws!" It was this hand. I was walking around campus going, "God damn it. God, that stinks. Fucking Jesus Christ, but I can't stop smelling it. That's so awesome and horrible at the same time. Oh my God. E, it's in your paws!" She never heard that story. She'd be so pissed off at me if I wrote about it or told anybody. If she knew that I was telling you right now about that, she'd kick my ass. Anyway. On Wednesday, Elizabeth Hurley made an appearance on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen and addressed the fan theories claiming that she took Prince Harry's virginity. And she has shut down that rumor. She said, it's completely ridiculous. It was absurd, ridiculous. It was like saying he's great looking. He's American. Oh, it's Andy Cohen. Hurley, who was 19 years older than Harry, said when asked about the rumors, he said she was English. She was older than me. It was in Gloucestershire. And they were like, oh, it's Elizabeth Hurley. Hurley also noted that the alleged rendezvous is virtually impossible as she's never met Harry in her life. However, she has been photographed alongside King Charles as well as Prince William on different occasions. That's about the only level of interest I have in anything Prince Harry. I wish he would do something interesting. How about this? There's a guy in Florida who got beaten up at Disney World. He was shit-faced. And they were at a restaurant. He was at a restaurant. And he started to insult a kid with Down syndrome at the restaurant. And so people got up and beat the shit out of him. Rightfully so. Here's the mugshot of Brent George. Look at this guy. He's all scratched up. What an asshole. All right, let's get into how this unfolded. I wish there was video. It starts out, of course, a Florida man arrested after he allegedly caused a fight at the bar while drunk when he made fun of a woman with Down syndrome. In the affidavit obtained by the press, said 61-year-old Brent George was arrested and charged with four counts of battery after the altercation unfolded at Bellevue Lounge. Just after 9 p.m., on the night it all went down, officers responded to the bar in response to a physical fight later determined to be a battery against four victims. When arriving at the scene, cops said George was drunk and had several injuries to his face that he claimed were a result of being hit by a glass cup. George told cops that he was in the Bellevue Lounge with his wife and two family friends, where he claimed he had taken three shots of bourbon and drank beer while at the bar. There was a family sitting at a nearby table, and George approached them and started to mock the couple's daughter, who has Down syndrome and was in a wheelchair. Why would you do that? I mean, if this was 1975, yeah. I mean, that's what you do. You know? But this is 2024. The girl's mother then confronted George about it. George stood up and shoved her. He then slapped another guest at the table in the face when she tried to intervene. The husband of the woman who was slapped got involved, and George punched him in the neck. George was then punched in the head by the husband, according to the complaint. George told cops he did not remember anything specific due to being intoxicated. He also said that he was having a good time with the individuals, and then he was attacked by them. One of the witnesses claimed he saw an individual throw a glass cup at George and overheard someone say they wanted to kill him. However, officers determined there was no broken glass found on the scene. It is believed no glass cup was utilized in the incident. Thanks for that detail. An unnamed bystander grabbed him and removed him from the scene. He pleaded not guilty to all four battery charges and is awaiting trial. So here's the thing. Perhaps this was a blackout drunk moment. I don't know if you've ever been blackout drunk, which that's happened to me, I believe, once. And I was a teenager when it happened, where you're still functioning, you're still behaving, you're still out in the wild. You may even appear to be fine, but everything that is happening to you, you will not remember. If that's the case, you could reasonably say that, yeah, I don't have any memory of this. I didn't do any of that. I don't recall any of that shit. But what would motivate you to go up and insult the child, a child with Down syndrome in a wheelchair? That's a trifecta. Oh, my God. About the only audience member who I think would be capable of that would be Kenny, who, if he were having a bad day, like let's say Kenny's at that restaurant and that child shows up there and wheels in, has Down syndrome, kid in a wheelchair, and accidentally bumps into Kenny. Kenny will suggest that he is allowed to make fun of her and attack her because he's having a bad day. Let's say his daughter's 1971 Mercury Phoenix isn't running appropriately. He will try to convince the authorities that it's okay for him to get in the face of the Down syndrome child and scream at her and say bad things because she bumped into him with his wheelchair. And he just goes, I'm having a bad day, though. It should be okay. My daughter's 1971 Mercury Phoenix is on the fritz, goddammit. It's just Tiffany Iceberg. Bob writes, but isn't Kenny attracted to girls who are a bit downsy? You're right. You're right. I didn't even think of that. He may try to make an unwanted pass. I bet you'd like to be my next bride. That could happen. You never know. Some schools that are in the path of the eclipse are sending kids home for the day. Can you guess why? Why would schools say, we are sending kids home because of the eclipse. Off the top of your head, why would a school do that? Schools that are in like the totality. I guess it could be anywhere. This is a great idea. Actually, I support this idea. I think. I don't know. I don't even know if I care. I don't really care, but I can understand why they would send the kids home. And this all goes back to something I talked about earlier this week. I wonder if you'll be able to piece those clues together. They are sending kids home because if all the kids are there, they're going to look at the eclipse. They're worried that the kids will look up at it without the appropriate safety gear on or whatever and damage their eyes. And you will damage your eyes if you look at the sun. In particular, where we are right now, where it's 99% covered with 1% of the sun visible, that 1% can fry your eyes out, but you won't know it. You'll be looking at the sun with 99% coverage. And you know, like if you try to look at the sun when it's a regular day, you can't, if you just pass over it, it's nearly impossible to do it. It's just, it instantly starts to fry your eyes. But if you did manage to look at it for any amount of time, your eyes would be destroyed. If you look at a eclipse that's 99% covered, that 1% is going to fry your eyes. So they're worried that if they're looking up at it and then the sun comes out of totality, or even just looking at it, it can cause damage. So they're sending kids home because they know that the kids are going to look at the sun. And that comes from the order, don't look at the sun. If you tell a child, don't look at the sun, they will look at the sun. And that is all based on the fact that they're so stupid. Any kid, I don't care who it is, no matter what you tell them, if a person like their parents or the teacher tells them to do something, they will do the opposite. 100 out of 100 times. Okay? So rather than have lawsuits or a classroom full of blind kids, they just send them home. It's fucking brilliant. Because let's face it, there is nothing worse than a blind person. Instantly, when a person becomes blind, they become smartasses and snarky as shit and quite demanding, frankly. There isn't a blind person that I know who isn't a jackass. That's true. Something happens. As soon as the lights go out, instantly, the asshole gene takes over. God, I swear to God, blind people piss me off so bad. Nothing more annoying. All that shit. Give me stuff. No. Fuck off. Maureen says, so they won't be blamed when the kids look and go blind. Yes, you would have been correct. Nikki says, same thing, because they can't control them not looking at it without special glasses. All true. Nikki says, my mom was blind, LOL. Oh, she must have been a dick. Maureen says, remember that photo of Trump looking at the eclipse last time without special glasses? Yeah, it was great. Bob says, that reminds me, I got to go dig out my welding helmet. So that is Monday. The eclipse is Monday. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear all the stories about all the blind idiots going forward. All right. Sunday is a big fraud Sunday. 11 a.m. start time for Big Fraud Sunday with Who Are These Zanes? Ben will cover the very rare Hot Wings and Eric Zane show because Free Beer was not at work. He will be reviewing May 15th, 2003. I will be reviewing more audio of Joe and the poor boy interviewing basketball legend, not Mark Macon. Okay. Thank you, as always. You guys are the best. I will talk to you later on. Have a good one. Thank you. And bye. Okay, gather round. Gather round. Let's get after it. Because, like right now, it's the perfect amount of time for us to start the podcast and then get done and immediately go outside, because at like 1:58 big fraud time, the eclipse starts. So that's awesome. Just shared with the NFK Bird Buddy video. And he was stoked about that. Maureen says it's story time. Not Maureen. Linda says that. What do you, am I supposed to talk about something here? Is there something I'm supposed to share? Or is it just in general, stories usually happen on this podcast? Welcome to you. I do have a story that I've been wanting to get to. I've been looking forward to talking about it. It's not exactly, it doesn't really have a great ending to it. Well, it kind of does, I guess. A mommy died in Alabama, and the daughter is having a lemonade sale to pay for a tombstone. Now, right away, off the top, this seems like the type of thing that, I mean, is going to make pay for the tombstone and then some. You know, one of those deals. Let's see how this unfolds. 7-year-old selling lemonade to help purchase mommy's tombstone.
Way for children to make money, but the purpose behind 7-year-old Emery Johnson's lemonade stand is much deeper.
Yeah, much deeper. She is raising funds to purchase a tombstone for her late mother. News 19's Daryl Burke has her story.
I bought lemons and I just thought of lemonade.
This isn't your average lemonade stand.
It's helping her heal.
With or without us?
Emery Johnson's mother, Carly, died.
Okay, so this is the point where Kenny's probably going to make some horrible comment. You know, last time we had a story that was sensitive. You animals wrecked that one.
In March, sales from...
Boy, she's pretty. Mommy is so pretty. What a tragedy.
7-year-old's lemonade stand is raising money for her late mother's tombstone.
I didn't know that just by making a little lemonade would bring this many people here to my house, and it's fun, but it's unbelievable at the same time.
Boy, I like the guy in the background hitting this fucking vape pipe.
Thank you.
The second grader began selling her signature drinks this week, and with the community's help, she's already raised nearly $10,000.
I know her mom is looking down.
Uh-oh. All right. Now, I want you all to resist the urge to make fun of this sweet lady's appearance, okay? I don't want any comments about the skin blotches and the teeth. There will be no jokes about this lady's appearance.
I'm on her and so happy.
Johnson's grandmother, Jennifer Bordner, says her daughter Carly's tombstone has been donated. She shares that she is grateful for the Jackson County community, and the ongoing donations will help support Emery's future.
I've just been amazed and cried happy tears. Felt a peaceful and a happiness because everybody came to support my little granddaughter. And that's what I wanted the most, for her to not be heartbroken.
My my eyes.
That's my world.
Thank you.
From first responders to community members, dozens showed their support for young Emery.
Thank you.
Emery tells me beauty and makeup is her passion, and she hopes to one day be a YouTube star. Family members tell News 19 the second grader's world was rocked after her mother died, but the stand is her way of honoring her mother, Carly.
We need to know how mom died.
I hope my daughter can see this, how amazing this is, and how especially wonderful her daughter is. And thank you to everyone, and thank God, because this was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced, and this community has helped me.
In Scottsboro.
I'm right here in your heart.
Daryl Burke, News 19.
Great story. If you would like to donate to Emery's efforts, her stand will be open tomorrow in Scottsboro. That address is on our website at WHNT.com.
Yeah, if anyone ever dies, you know, I mean, if there's a child involved, I think that's, well, that's good business sense to go ahead and get the kid out there. I mean, Tombstone might even be paid for it. I mean, they said that the tombstone was donated and all the money is going to, that's brilliant. That is a brilliant marketing move. Maureen says, well, that's heartbreaking. Nick says, just waiting for the cops to show up and shut it down for no permit. Well, the kid's lucky that she's white. Otherwise, she wouldn't have made any money in Alabama for sure. They would have, the cops would have flipped over the tables, said, fuck you. Linda says, I just throw all my money at her. I think from a business standpoint, you got to leave grandma off the TV because she looks fucked up. Okay, let's be honest here. You don't want grandma on TV in this situation. It was different with the chick who was pleading about killing the husband. But, God, now I'm as bad as Kenny. Chris writes my quote, she's pretty. This is a tragedy. Linda says, except that woman is in an Auburn shirt. You can tell, by the way she was wearing that shirt, that she's got those tits that started like her navel. Aaron says, we totally have to talk about the appearance. Aaron says that money should go towards dentistry. I haven't seen teeth like that since the last Zaniac get-together. Actually, if that woman in the Auburn shirt showed up at the Zaniac party, they'd be looking at her as like, you know, having the best teeth of the bunch. They'd all be jealous at those chompers. Linda says, does she use purple concealer under her eyes? Because I use a traditional skin tone shade. I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds funny. Maureen says she's a very young looking grandma. Linda says she's probably 35. Linda says she's an Auburn fan, so she's fair game. Chris says, grandma mixing up lemonade in the back using her fist. Grandma, we're getting complaints. The customers are saying the lemonade tastes like your pussy. Chris says, lonely Nick might be interested. Yeah, that's a power move. Have the lemonade stand and say you got to buy a tombstone, you know. Who cares if you have to buy a tombstone? Everyone is going to give that kid money. And then you take the grandma take the kid's money and then that's the end of it. That's how you do that. We've got another adult woman who loves having sex with kids. Mike Ball sent this to me with the subject line, "Set this woman free now." Because, well, this is her mugshot. Florida woman accused of posing as teen homeschooler for sex with child is arrested again. So I guess she was posing as like a 14-year-old and I don't know, getting access to people's homes to help homeschool kids. And then like the mom would walk out of the room and the next thing you know, she's sitting on the kid's face. My God. Whoops. A woman accused, 23-year-old Alyssa Ann Zinger, arrested in November for this, and then she did it again. This mugshot is from the November arrest. Facing charges related to four other alleged victims who are minors. So she already was in trouble, and then even though she was waiting for that to be resolved, she went back and started to consume young dick again. Following her initial arrest in November, law enforcement officers charged her with 2 counts of lewd and lascivious behavior and 5 counts of lewd or lascivious molestation on a person 12 to 15 years of age. Zinger is accused of contacting a child using Snapchat and posing as a homeschooler to engage in a sexual relationship with a young victim. Well, she might just be saying, yeah, I confuse homeschooler with like a tutor, I guess. She's saying, yeah, I'm homeschooled. Let's hang out. I don't know. So this is a new wrinkle. So if I'm understanding this correctly, she as a homeschooler then would reach out to, I'm guessing, other homeschool students and end up sparking a relationship and then showing up and then having sex. So, I mean, talk about easy pickings. You got a homeschooler who nobody's going to want to have sex with, a homeschooled nerd. And here she is with pick of the litter, basically, for all these homeschool dorks. The report gave details of the fresh accusations. Arrested on Thursday, 2 counts of this, of the charges, as I indicated. And she also had child porno on her, no doubt pictures of the kids that she was having sex with. My God. So she now has several charges pending against her. It appears she had a TikTok account because a video shows her wearing a low-cut blue crop top and black leggings and doing the old dancing to the music in the bathroom. This is the TikTok video of this chick. She wants to dance for us. This is Alyssa Zinger doing her TikTok dance for us.
From lewd or lascivious molestation.
I take it back. This is her being arraigned on the latest with all these dudes behind her on the big arraignment day.
A victim aged 12 to 15 to transmission of child pornography by electronic device.
This is her. She goes to a local bathroom to do this dance. She's not a good dancer. She's just kind of like moving. She's a horrible dancer. She looked to be very powerful, though. Like she had the type of hips and ass that she could possibly deadlift a fair amount of weight. And instead, she's just looking for young dick. She is now up to 12 counts of various horrible charges against her. You know, this is a good-looking chick. She could get... I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's the same way like when a dude is attracted to a young girl. We, you know, normal people like you and I, and hopefully all of you, I don't know if any of you are into children I would like to think that none of you enjoying this show are into like desiring children. Okay. If you are watching or listening to this show and you like, well, you know, want to have sex with kids, I don't want to know that. I want you to keep that to yourself and hopefully you won't act upon that. That's a horrible thing to act upon. But, you know, odds are of the 16 people here, one of you may be into young people. And that's absolutely horrible. If I find out that any of you want to have sex with children, I'm going to have to abandon you. You're going to have to leave the podcast. I don't want people who are into having sex with kids to want to have sex with, you know, to actually do that. I mean, I don't even care if you think it, just as long as you don't act on it. Patrick says, I wonder if these types of people are attracted physically to young people or if it's a psychological thing like some kind of warped control thing. So odd. I take it back. If you admit to me that you want to have sex with kids, but you've never had sex with kids and you have it under control, I still don't want you around. I want no kid diddlers in the audience. Unacceptable. Well, anyway, Mike Ball says we ought to free her because she's hot. But no, I in all seriousness, no, that's, we can't have that. If she is to be set free, she has to promise to never do it again. Then perhaps we can let that go. Gene Simmons from Kiss is at it again. First off, Kenny writes, oh my God, I just took this from 2x playback speed to 0.25 playback speed. And Eric, you sounded drunk as shit. I think I might be able to do that on here. Playback speed, 0.25. That's... We can't have that. If she is to be set free, she has to promise to never do it again. Then perhaps.
You asshole.
It's too slow.
We can let that go.
Gene Simmons from Kiss is at it again. Why does it go to drunk? I don't get it. First off, Kenny writes, oh my God, I just took this from 2x playback speed to 0.25 playback speed. And Eric, you sounded drunk as shit. I think I might be able to do that on here.
All right, now it's on 0.75. Now it's normal.
Playback speed, 0.25.
Now it's at twice.
That's, we can't have that. All right, it's making all sorts of weird ass wormholes. Very funny though, thank you. Chris says, are we gonna beer bong another third beer? Very clever. I'm glad you... Was it by accident that you found that out? Was that a... Holy shit. Gene Simmons from Kiss. Okay. This guy just sold... He and Paul Stanley sold the rights to Kiss, I guess. You hear about this a lot with artists selling the rights of their songs to whomever. I don't quite understand it. Like, if you sell the rights of the Kiss songs, what does the buyer do with those songs? What does the buyer do with those songs in order to make money on their own? I don't know anything about this, but Kiss, Gene, and Paul sold it for $300 million. Now, in this case, I actually do have some idea with what they're doing with the likeness. But other artists like Bruce Springsteen did this. I'm not sure what the plan is for whoever was the buyer of Springsteen's catalog or anyone else who buys this shit. But there's a company that is taking the likenesses of Kiss, the logo, the makeup, and the share of their music catalog, and creating an avatar show, which is dumb. Kiss actually promoted it on their final concert. We played it here and laughed at it because it was so dumb, and Gene had like demon wings and was flying around. It's animated. It's just ridiculous. But their plan is to have this avatar show go from town to town, and people who love Kiss pay for the stupidity and continue to make money off the name. I think the group ABBA does this. Whatever. But Gene Simmons said the agreement felt like a natural thing. And he says that their sale, that this wasn't about that the deal was something the band didn't go looking for. And the headline reads that the sale wasn't about money. And it's like, well, what could it possibly else be about? I don't. Huh? They said it felt like a natural thing to make with the company that is doing it. It's a Swedish company called Voyage Production, which had already been working with the band on an avatar concept. He reported that the band had a meeting with them and talked about our families, and we got to be friends. Describing the final Kiss show in December of 23 as a proud moment, they predicted that the handover would lead to a reinvention. They said, if you take a look at Mother Nature, you either evolve or you become extinct. The beginning of new Kiss is going to be something that will blow your socks off like nothing you've ever seen. Well, that's not true at all, because it's literally like just watching a fucking video game version of Kiss. It sucks. I mean, Kiss sucked live. Why would you want to go see it with a cartoon background or animated? Nobody says cartoon now. On the subject of the unconfirmed price, Simmons said, "That's not what it's about. It's about enjoying life. I'm certainly blessed," he added. "Life happens while you're busy making important plans." It's like, Gene, stop it. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why does everything have to be so goddamn dramatic with you? Gene, let's talk about you selling the rights of the band to this stupid company to make the dumb avatars. What was it about? It was about $300 million. Anything else to say? No, not at all. $300 million. I don't give a shit about any of this. I'm 78 years old. I've got probably 5 years to live. Why the fuck do I care? With Kiss apparently behind him, he said he was looking forward to touring with the Gene Simmons Band and continuing to develop the restaurant chain he co-founded with Paul Stanley. God, sometimes I get annoyed with people who just never fucking slow down. You know? Why can't somebody just drop off the face of the earth? It's got to be like the craving the spotlight. craving the attention, perhaps. I mean, I can relate to that. That's kind of my bread and butter, but I'm not going to lie to you. If I win that lottery, if I win a $1 billion lottery, I don't think you're ever going to hear from me ever again. Rock and Bruise is a proud achievement, he said. Oh, yeah. Like, you had a lot to do with it, Gene. It's your name. You just agreed to have some fucking memorabilia and the walls of the building. It's an experience from the time you walk in. The highest form of praise is if you like something and tell your best friend. Hey, you got to check this out. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. Do you speak in anything but these dumb sayings and platitudes, Gene? You are so annoying. God damn it. Go do something fun, Gene. Chris says that has to be the worst restaurant ever. Patrick says, I agree, Zane. These people are never satisfied. It's true. God damn it. Just go relax. Get old. Can you think of anyone who, you know, who did that? Barry Sanders did that. And that adds up, because talk about a guy who, you know, everybody's chanting his name and the most electrifying runs in the history of the game. And at 29 years old, he said, I don't know if I like doing this anymore. I'm just going to quit. And unceremoniously retires by sending a fax and says, I don't want to play anymore. Sorry. Thanks for everything. Bye-bye. And then that was it. Not to be heard from barely again. He shows up here and there now and does things with the Lions, but talk about peacing out. It was awesome. Now you see him, and he's like a little fucking pork chop. You would never know that he was the best running back that has ever played the game. He looks like a little bowling ball. He's a little fat fuck. But I still think that he would be better than everybody else in football right now. He should do a thing where he comes back for just 1 year, just so we can see his short little fat ass embarrass the shit out of everybody. Because I think he's like 5'7", like 275 right now. But he can still run like anybody's, you know, better than anybody and do those spinorama things, and everybody's trying to tackle him, and all they do is tackle air. That would be even more of a spectacle than watching old school Barry Sanders, because old school Barry Sanders was in shape. You get this little fat fuck running around out there, and that's going to be not only spectacular, but hilarious at the same time. That's what he should do, for God's sake. But that's an example of somebody who just said, fuck it. I can't do it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. Also, we started to get into this in the Ben and Eric show, but did not address it enough. The guy whose dog that looked like Baxter from Anchorman gets stolen from his yard in California. And then for like 8 months, they have been like, please help us find little Baxter. And nobody has seen the dog. And that's because some fucker stole the dog and then made it available online. They don't know this. This is a speculation. They still don't know how this happened, because the dog turned up in Detroit. Wandering the streets, well-fed, taken care of. It must have gotten loose from whoever owned it. Little fucker. And somebody brought it to a vet, and they scan, you know, a little scanner thing, because if you get a little chip implanted in the dog, so the dog ever gets lost, and it shows the, the ownership information. They call the guy. It's 8 months later. He's like giving up hope. Ah, my fucking Baxter's dead. He gets the phone. Yeah, this is so-and-so Animal Clinic in Detroit. We got Baxter. What? are you around the block? No, I just said I'm in Detroit, you dumb dick. You got to travel 2,000 miles. Come see us. Get your fucking dog. Oh, my God. That is a nightmare come true of losing my dog. Which, by the way, the other day, Pooh Bear and I are getting ready to go to the hockey game on Friday. And I was wrapping stuff up here. And I said, can you do me a favor and let these dogs out before we go? Because I'm short on time and I still have to get ready. She says, okay. She takes the dogs out. I get ready. Dogs are let back in. We're backing out of the driveway. Benny is in the middle of the street looking at us. I go, what have you done? Oops. I go, yeah, this happens all the time with you. I mean, it happens with me too, but it happens more with you, especially with Benny. We have done that before where we've left for the hockey game and he's wandering the neighborhood and the neighbors bring him home and bring him in the house. Yeah, we're dropping your dog off again. Okay. Fucking bad dog owners. All right. It's 1:56, big fraud time. Eclipse starts in 2 minutes. See you later. Going to check that shit out. Thank you for being here. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.